There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Thank you to our subscribers and members of our listening audience.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. This is podcast number 296, August 3rd, 2008. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads get you the F1Weekly.com website for the ads that interest you. Click on them, you know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Steven. And of course, we always thank Yahoo Ads. Wow, what a hot day in Hungary, Budapest. Outstanding. Great crowd. The Poles. This is pretty much their home Grand Prix.
A lot of Finns, too, because there's direct flights down from Finland to Budapest.
Exactly. Maybe it's called Finnish Air. Or is that Fresh Air?
Huh?
Exactly. Keep up the good work, Steven.
Yeah, you're confusing me.
Well, let's get right to qualifying.
Yep, we'll start with qualifying. And another hot day. We've got the two Bridgestone compounds this weekend are the soft and super softs. And as usually the case with the Bridgestones, the softer the two compounds has a problem with grading.
Well, let's just call them Brickstones from now on. But let me get to Sebastian Vettel real quickly. He had nothing but a hard time in practice, only got in 9 laps, hydraulic issues for him all weekend long. Pretty much the bad luck syndrome is rearing its ugly head.
Yeah, it's coming back to bite him again. Another rough weekend for him all the way around, but especially through practices, total of 9 laps through practice, and just makes it a little tough to get any kind of rhythm on the track when you get so few laps.
Exactly. Bourdais, having better luck, did okay in qualifying. And, of course, they both do get out of Q1.
Which was a
good
thing.
As we expect them to now.
Yeah, it's pretty much gotten to the point where we expect at least one of them, if not both of them, to make it into the next round.
And I found it interesting that even we were just in Q1, some teams are already not only getting ready for qualifying, but they're also still debating these tire issues, because the soft compound seems to be the Stinko compound. It's a one-lap wonder, barely.
Yeah, you basically get one golden lap if you're lucky, because that one golden lap might be actually your out lap. And so it makes it a little tough to use them for really anything, because after that first golden lap, they start getting kind of mucky, and then you're probably looking at 5 to 6 laps before they're going to have any decent grip.
Exactly. Felipe Massa came out on the softs. Kimi Raikkonen, though, on the other hand, came out on the hards. Lewis Hamilton on hard. Heikki Kovalainen on hard. Nelson Piquet Jr., call me that if you're feeling lucky, came out on the hard. Fernando was on the soft. So everybody was sort of experimenting to see what they really wanted. Because and you'll notice that these are all the guys that expect to be in Q3.
Right.
So they want to make sure they get this sorted out
before they get to Q3.
Exactly.
And have to have that hot lap.
And there you have it. So tell us who got kicked out, Steven.
We'll start from the bottom, work our way up, as often is the case. And actually, it looks like maybe for the first time this season, Adrian Sutil will start at the very back of the grid. He has managed to get himself out of that spot every week up to now, so he's going to qualify 20th. He is he's about a half a second behind his teammate Giancarlo Fisichella, who will qualify 19th, Rubens Barrichello in 18th, Kaz Nakajima in 17th, Nick Heidfeld.
I call him waving my fist, Nick Heidfeld.
Yeah, he did get balked a little bit.
Totally, I don't think he really did, because if you look at the film, excuse me, the video, you see that even though Sebastian Bourdais is in front of him as he's finishing his hot lap, Bourdais has somebody else in front of him.
Yeah, but it's Bourdais who's going to take it in the shorts for this one. And then qualifying in 15th is Nico Rosberg.
Yeah, so Nick Heidfeld, and I'm telling you right now, he could sit there and blame Bourdais all he wants. Bourdais does take a 5-grid penalty. But still, when you look at it, Heidfeld, it was really just bad timing.
Yeah.
On the team.
Well,
and everybody involved, and I don't care what anybody says, Nick Heidfeld is still not out of this quali bugaboo, as they call it.
He's having a hard time all the way around the last several races. I'm not sure his magic seems to have left him recently, and he's having a hard time finding it. And now there's talk that BMW may be looking for someone to take his seat for next season.
May?
Well, I'm sure they're looking whether or not they'll follow through and give his seat to someone else. That's to be decided.
Well, we'll see. He may. I mean, he is German, but still, if this continues throughout the rest
exactly.
of the season,
he's out. He's got to have a resurgence, otherwise he's going to be toast.
And if Mario wants me to handle it, I'll do it right now. You're fired.
Okay, on to Q2. Typical stuff. You get a couple of people run a couple laps early, and then everybody kind of kicks back and waits for the last 2 minutes.
Well, this time, you know, there was a little bit of a lag, but the first people out were Timo Glock and Kimi Raikkonen. And remember those two names, Steven. And I'm not talking about your bookie. But, no, Kimi Raikkonen is trying to get in some good laps. He's got some quali woes. Now, he's blaming the car. Felipe Massa, you know, seems to be doing much better than Kimi Raikkonen. But still, Raikkonen needs to shake this off. So he's out there pretty quickly in Q2.
Yeah, Kimi's been having trouble with the car for the last several weeks. And this weekend is no different. A bit of a challenge. He just can't seem to find the balance that works well for him. until kind of late in the race, typically. But a rough one for him. And out in the second session are, in reverse order, Sebastian Bourdais, David Coulthard, Jenson Button, Sebastian Vettel. I guess Nico made it through. Oh, and didn't take the track for the second session. That's what happened.
This is what you get for watching Asian coverage, Steve. You got to translate all the characters. Stop it.
No, what it was is that I'm looking at the results sheet.
Okay.
And Nico does not have a time in Q2.
Nico Rosberg is out.
But he made it through to Q2, but never took the track.
Correct. He had a problem. He was out of the car when qualifying was still going on.
Yeah.
And Jenson Button, Sebastian Bourdais, as you said, Vettel, and Coulthard.
And again, Mark Webber gets through to Q3, and David Coulthard does not.
But
I believe that David Coulthard has only out-qualified Mark Webber once all season.
Well, David Coulthard is feeling a resurgence in his veins, but then it just stops resurging.
Yeah. Well, I give him a little credit. He didn't take anybody out this weekend.
That's true. But he could have if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But he decided not to.
He had at least two opportunities to end somebody's day.
I also want to say, bravo, bravo, bravo to Nelsino. Because he's doing a great job. Now, all of a sudden, it's expected of him to get into Q3 when in the old days we would giggle and snook.
We wouldn't be surprised when he was out in Q2.
Well, I was not happy with it, and I wanted him fired at least several times, and maybe the my firings of Nelsino has brought him back.
Well, the other thing too, I think scoring a podium in Germany will do a lot for your confidence.
Exactly, but he admitted it was a lucky moment. And you know what? He wasn't that happy after that race because Nelsino wants to be machismo. He wants to be like his papito.
Well, he kind of wants to earn it. He kind of feels like it was given to him in Germany through the fortuitous timing of his pit stop. But he's definitely looking a little bit better, a little bit faster. He's not quite so far behind his teammate. He's only a little bit over a tenth slower than Fernando in this session.
Exactly. So kudos to Flavio. The motivational plan is working, and Fernando and Nelsino do a pretty good job, I think, in Q3.
Yeah, definitely. On to the final qualifying session. Not a lot of excitement, but some interesting stuff going on. Again, qualifying, half the time I'm fast-forwarding to the last 2 minutes because that's when everything happens.
Well, that's, yeah, of course, because it's going to be, everybody's burning off fuel, even though they've cut it down to only 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's still the whole deal.
You still got to get down to your
wrist. And, of course, everybody's saying that McLaren has now surpassed Ferrari in speed, and it certainly looks that way. And they're managing their tires better. For some reason, McLaren has done a better job working with the Bridgestones, which is really amazing because, knowing the Ferrari relationship with Bridgestone.
And the fact that they've always used Bridgestones.
Exactly.
They should have some insight into the compounds that they're being used.
So that's called a phenomenon.
A phenomenon. Well, the one thing that they were mentioning over the weekend, that for some reason the McLarens wear the tires evenly, whereas on the Ferraris they're burning up the fronts a lot quicker than anybody else.
Exactly. So not sure what's going on there, but I think McLaren has done an outstanding job.
Yeah, they've definitely made some strides and are keeping are looking really strong.
Well, yeah, they get the front row at Hungary, the first front row since I believe last year at Monza.
Yeah, so we get our starting order will be Lewis Hamilton starts from pole, Heikki Kovalainen in P2, Felipe Massa right behind Lewis in P3, Robert Kubica qualifies fourth, Timo Glock, kind of the surprise of the weekend after his shunt in Germany, qualifies fifth. Next to him will be Kimi Raikkonen in sixth, Fernando Alonso in seventh, Mark Webber in eighth, Yarno Trulli qualifies ninth, and Nelson Piquet will qualify in tenth.
Great, great qualifying, not outstanding for Nelson, but as long as he's in the top ten, it's a possibility of scoring points, and this is what Renault needs to do. Their focus right now is to pass Toyota and get fourth place in the Constructors.
Yeah, they definitely want to finish ahead of Toyota and the Constructors and actually try to get as many as they can. Third place probably is out of reach, but the way BMW has been kind of dropping off,
and I've said
it may not be out of reach.
And I've said it in previous podcasts, BMW has peaked.
And they can't seem to get any more
and
out of it.
And the problem is when you peak, you usually go down the other side of the mountain.
Yeah,
this is the way it is. Renault is performing better than BMW a little bit. And even though I think BMW's got a better package, Nick Heidfeld is not contributing.
No, obviously not, considering where he's ending up on the grid every week. He's definitely not getting them any... he's not really bringing them any benefit.
And instead of blaming people, blaming traffic, work with your team and get out there on a clear track.
Yeah.
I mean, it was talked about before the race that Hungary has problems because it's a fairly short track.
And it's fairly narrow.
And you're going to have traffic problems in qualifying, especially in Q1. Real quickly, before we go to the race, Sebastian Bourdais does get penalized with a 5-grid penalty.
For inadvertently blocking Nick Heidfeld.
Yeah, so there you have it. He has to start in 19th position.
So Adrian Sutil's like, oh, damn, almost got that.
That little bump.
Yep, almost got a bump back up, not starting at the... starting as caboose.
And, starting from that far back is always problematic. Anything can happen, especially when you got David Coulthard in front of you.
You could
take out half the field.
He could just basically turn himself sideways. And
just kidding.
Yeah, sorry, Tricky. So we're off on the formation lap. Very hot day in Hungary today.
It's a hot day.
Yeah, but mid-80s, 50%+ humidity. Just really warm in Hungary today.
And the problem with this kind of heat is you're already being told, make sure you do not follow other cars and stop that wind.
Yeah, make sure you get the airflow through the car.
You
got
to keep your car cool. You got to keep your brakes hot, but not too hot.
Yeah, exactly.
And brakes and engine is everything at this track because of this heat.
And also because of the type of track it is. It's a lot of corners and a lot of braking required, so it's a rough track on brakes, it's a rough track on gearboxes, but gearboxes are pretty much bulletproof these days, it seems. They were saying like 3,500 gear changes during the course of the race, but also it plays a little bit into the tires too, because with it being so warm, it comes up again as to whether or not which set of tires is going to be the better pair. And as we see through the race, the option tire of the super softs, really nobody wants to be on track on those tires.
The harder compound is the ideal compound for this track, but you still have to put in some laps with the softer compound, right? FIA rules and regulations.
And from the looks of the grid, the only person going to start the race on the super softs is David Coulthard.
David Coulthard, but it seems to work for him as we progress into this race.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, the lights go out.
And we're racing in Hungary.
And we would expect Lewis Hamilton to do what he's done in the past two races, take off.
Really good start for Lewis.
Exactly.
But
all of a sudden,
there's this red car right on his rear end.
Massa, I don't know what he did. It was either a bowl of Wheaties, he found his TFs. He did an outstanding job. I'm not joining the Massanets yet, but I was very happy to see Massa take it wheel to wheel against Lewis Hamilton and show Lewis Hamilton, you know, I still have some possibilities for this world championship. Because Lewis Hamilton said this weekend that he has plenty of speed, he's the toughest man to beat, and he's even got more speed in reserve. In other words, getting cockier and cockier and cockier.
And what usually happens to individuals who get cockier and cockier in Formula One?
I don't know. But also, in qualifying, real quickly, at the press conference, the hugging of Heikki Kovalainen, and you could tell all of a sudden Kovalainen was putting on a brave face, but really was a bit irked by the fact that, once again, he's out-qualified by Lewis. And I don't see, you know, everybody's talking about how, oh, they're best of teammates, you know, they're on the same bowling team. You know, it's just nothing but a love fest, the complete opposite of last year. And you know what?
It probably is the complete opposite of last year, but I don't think things are quite as rosy and cheeky as everybody wants to make them out.
Well, I don't think it's going to end up that way. I think it's going to get a little colder in there. But let's not forget, these are type A personalities, super competitive. And it's, to be honest with you, I think the lovey-dovey, you know, I think I'm happy for you, Lewis, is BS. They're just too competitive, and it's just a show to counteract the issues that happened last year.
Yeah.
And let's just get on with it and be honest.
Yep. Also mention while we're here that Heikki Kovalainen has been signed by McLaren to race for the team in 2009.
Which is a good thing to do, because really, you want to get that settled. And, you know, 1 year would be silly.
Yeah, it's a really big waste, especially considering what they had to go through, you know, in the last season where they signed the world champion and lost him after a season. Not really good for team continuity on the whole. And also, there's going to be so many changes forced on the car for next season. Getting two drivers who are used to what you've been doing, a really good thing to do.
And of course, everybody's saying that he's really a legitimate number two now to Lewis Hamilton. Of course, Dennis says no. A lot of people say yes. I still say no myself, but the pass on Heikki at Hockenheim sort of looked like he was told to let him by. I'm not sure.
I think Heikki let him by because he knew he was faster.
Perhaps.
And he's a good teammate.
Exactly.
The thing I see is that at this time, the team is geared towards Lewis's driving style and Lewis's setup. So Heikki has a little bit more trouble getting the car dialed into his perfect preference, because they're a little bit more geared to doing it for Lewis.
Exactly. So anyway, let's get back to Mr. Massa Machismo, who fights, burns up the brakes on that first corner, but makes it by, pushes Lewis Hamilton out of the way, and takes the lead.
Gets past him. Very, really good start, good pass going in the turn one, and he gets out in front of Lewis and starts to pull away.
Of course, further behind, there's some action. Kimi Raikkonen doesn't have a great start.
No.
He's got serious issues. Fernando Alonso takes P6 from Kimi Raikkonen, and Jarno Trulli was passed by Nelsinho Piquet, which was bravissimo, but Jarno Trulli takes it back before the second lap even begins.
Yeah. But Piquet also got past Weber, and then Glock actually gets past Kubica on the start too.
Correct. So Glock is having a great race, good qualifying form, and he's pretty motivated. Lap 2, fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with a 1:22.977. And while that's happening, Jenson Button passes Rubinho, the four-legged one. No, I mean the two-legged one. There's a horse on the track.
Producer, edit that one out, please.
Thank you very much. Lap three, fast lap. Lewis Hamilton, 1:22.617. And then Felipe Massa says, huh, I do not think so.
I can do that too.
Exactly. Fast lap on lap four for Felipe Massa with a 1:22.359. And Sebastian Bourdais doing a pretty good job. He's already leapfrogged three positions to P16 by lap four. Lap five, fast lap. Felipe Massa again, 1:22.297. And the story is up at the front of the spear with these two gentlemen fighting. Lewis Hamilton disappointed that he let Felipe Massa get by him, but he's hoping, and I think he's actually a little bit surprised, that Ferrari is on the pace.
They and have the found fact the that he actually needed. Can get... ahead of got past, one surprised he got past him, and two surprised that he can't catch him.
Exactly, he can't catch him. And Felipe Massa bangs out another fast lap on lap six, another one on lap seven with a 1:22.059. And Sebastian Vettel goes wide, having a little bit of trouble chasing Rubinho. Now, Felipe Massa on lap eight is leading by 2 seconds. Not a lot, but he's making the point.
Right, and he's also growing his lead with every lap by either a tenth or three.
And the other thing that I thought was surprising was the fact that Kimi Raikkonen could not catch and pass Fernando. Fernando was on the pace. The Renault seems to be improved, even though they admit they could be 30 horsepower down on the rest of the grid.
Yeah. Again, you've got a driver who likes this track a lot in Alonso. You know, this is where he won his first Grand Prix. He's raced well here. And Kimi just doesn't... The car just does not seem to be responding to him as well as it is to Massa in the last couple of races.
I think Kimi's just suffering from rider's block.
Something like driver, that. Or how about driver's block?
Something like
he's
that.
He's basically... He's not... He can't... It's funny, we see flashes of brilliance from him in these races, but most of the other time he's just kind of languishing, like he's kind of like he's already in the hotel.
Lap 10, Felipe Massa, another fast lap. He breaks into the 1:21.860 numbers. Timo Glock, at this pace, is keeping up with Heikki Kovalainen very impressively.
Yeah, the Toyota
is once again showing improvement, showing pace. What blows my mind is how come their motor is working so well, and Williams still can't make it improve their package.
It just seems odd. I don't know if it's because Toyota can put more into their aero, or if for some reason Williams can't seem to get the same amount of power down onto the track.
Lap 11, Kimi Raikkonen is now trying to make some headway and catch Fernando, because really he needs to get by Fernando Alonso to get into the, he's got to get up into major points.
Yeah, he needs to score well this weekend to really kind of keep his championship hopes alive. And Fernando, again, the same problem he was having in the early part of the race in Germany, too, where he just couldn't get past Alonso.
Lap 12, Felipe Massa, once again, with another fast slap with a 1:21.479. And David Coulthard at this time is starting to slow down, and you can see those soft tires
going away on
the
him.
Grain. And he's having a little bit of trouble, but he manages it fairly well.
He does a really good job. He ends up, turns out he's on a two-stop strategy, and or on a one-stop strategy. And he does a really good job making those softs last long enough to pull it off.
Exactly. Mark Webber staying ahead of Jarno Trulli fairly easily. Lap 14, Timo Glock seems to be pulling away from Robert Kubica. Another big story for today's program is what happened to BMW.
Yeah, they just know they've got pace, but they don't have anything with the cars in front. They can't seem to catch anybody, and they're even having trouble staying in front of people.
And you know, at this stage of the season, pretty soon you have to break off development of the 2008 car to move on to 2009.
Right.
What hurt Renault in 2006 was they continued super development on the R26 to make sure that Fernando became the machismo of España. But in the end, the R27 was a dog of a car.
Oh yeah, and very much like a 2005 Ferrari, where just never found pace the entire season.
So a lot of teams need to sort this out sooner than later. guaranteed. Lap 16, fast lap. Again, Felipe Massa, 1-2-1-3-5-5. And Timo Glock is flying that Toyota, and he's doing a really good job. The GP2 champion is showing that he deserves to be here, and
he can drive a car.
Exactly.
Massa's lead is now up over 3 seconds.
3 seconds, and the top four drivers at the front of the spear are very tight. The times are super tight. And then Robert Kubica is like a half a second slower than those.
Yeah. And everything after that is looting further back.
Yeah, I was really surprised by the BMWs, and that continues to fall into my mind as I'm watching this race, especially, well, Nick Heidfeld having problems. I'm not sure where this is going to go, but they've got to hold on to those Constructor Championship points because they're in second spot behind Ferrari right now, but it's not going to last if they keep this up.
At the moment, at this very moment during the race, they are in second spot.
Exactly, Steve. That's what I just said. Keep up the good work, Steve, and keep an open mind.
And the other issue they got to worry about, too, is that if they can't, you know, the way Heidfeld's been going, if you don't have two cars in the points consistently, and teams like Renault manage to get two cars in the points consistently, they could lose third place, too.
Yeah, and I don't like whining.
No, that's always drives me a little crazy. Dude, you're getting paid a lot of money to do what you're doing. Take a little responsibility.
Lap 18, Felipe Massa pits. He was a little bit lighter on fuel than Lewis Hamilton, and it's all coming out in the wash. It's an 8.2-second stop, and he goes on the hard tires.
Yeah, just a tiny bit lighter since...
Exactly. Robert Kubica pits, and Mark Webber pits as well, and they stay with the hard compound. Felipe Massa now comes out ahead of Fernando Alonso and Kimi Raikkonen, so which is a good spot.
Renault sandwich between the Ferraris.
Lap 19, Lewis Hamilton pits, 9.4-second stop, and he comes out behind Kimi Raikkonen. Lap 20, Timo Glock pits, 13.5-second stop, and there seemed to be a problem with the fuel hose connecting to the vehicle.
As we see in the second round of stops, it really becomes an issue with the rigs getting kind of stuck in the nozzles themselves, giving some problems to several of the teams.
Well, the heat is brutal. Let's not forget, fuel expands tremendously, parts expand, and I think they're having trouble getting that fuel nozzle off. I think they should keep the whole thing refrigerated until they need it.
Do something with it to keep it. But the problem is that you do that, what are you going to do about the receiver in the car, because it's a little tougher to refrigerate?
Yeah, but that's pretty much always at the same temperature because of the heat of the car. Well, you know, maybe not. I think we're going out on a limb. Lap 21, Sebastian Vettel pits, Heikki Kovalainen pits, 9.9-second stop. He stays with the hard compound and comes out behind Nelson Piquet. Of course, lap 22, this is pretty exciting. I like excitement in the pit stop because Fernando Alonso, who's been ahead of Kimi Raikkonen since the beginning, after passing him on the first lap, they both pit at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ferrari's a pretty good pit stop crew.
And they have the advantage of being in the first stall.
They do have that advantage, but the advantage on being further up is you come out further up.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Fernando Alonso comes out right in front of Kimi Raikkonen, no cigar. Fernando, bravo, bravo,
not leapfrogging me, man.
So I was pretty happy at that moment. And once again, Kimi is, you know, they come out on track. They hit the machismo foot pedal that says accelerator. And Kimi is trying to get by Fernando, but Fernando holds him off. And voila, no pass.
No pass for Raikkonen.
So I thought that was pretty cool. And then on lap 23, Yarno truly pits, 8.2-second stop. Sebastian Vettel pits, and he's having a problem. They push the car into the garage. You're out of there. Sebastian Vettel's luck is brutal.
Yeah,
and
it's just a
bummer.
Sure, he's looking at going, I can hardly wait to get into that RBR because at least I know I'll finish.
But as he's trying to get back to the pits, he inadvertently blocks Kimi Raikkonen and causes him to lose at least a second as he's trying to attack Fernando Alonso. So it was a little awkward, but I was impressed with Kimi, stayed in control. No middle finger flying at Sebastian Vettel.
Worried more about driving and
exactly.
Not about
Vettel, it wasn't his fault. The car was having some issues, but Vettel limps it back and garages it. Lap 25, Nelson Piquet pits from P3. He sticks with the hard compound tire.
And so I think Kimi wasn't that upset about it because he was on his way in anyway, because he also pits on lap 25, 26.
Kimi had just pitted, remember, with Fernando?
Steve, not according
you gotta
to this.
Lay off the sauce, dude. Yeah. I'm telling you. But anyway,
it's these early mornings that get to me, man.
That's what it is. Nelson Piquet on lap 26 does come out of his pit, and he's smack right behind Kimi Raikkonen. So now we've got a Renault sandwich on the Ferrari.
Yeah.
David Coulthard, at the stage of this race, is now in P5. As we mock him,
as much as we like, but
He's managing those soft tires really well.
Yes, he is.
Because they've lasted 27 laps.
It's pretty impressive, especially considering that nobody else wants to drive these tires
exactly
for more than 10, 20 laps.
So I think David Coulthard is doing a good job, and apparently Red Bull is pretty good on the Bridgestones as well.
They seem to be doing pretty well. Maybe it's because it's a newly derived design, and as is, if you really look at it, you can trace the McLaren's roots back to a newly design.
Exactly. Anyway, he does finally pit on lap 29, 8.3 second stop. Thank goodness he goes and jumps on those hard tires and comes out in front of Rubinho.
That's a really good stop if he's on a one-stop strategy, only going 8.3 seconds. That's a good stop, change the tires, and put enough gas to finish the race.
Exactly, and I think Red Bull is doing a great job. They're becoming the team that we expect them to become with Adrian Newey on board.
Yeah, and also with the kind of financial backing they have. They probably have as much money as any of the manufacturers.
Absolutely. Lap 30, Giancarlo Fisichella pits. Nico Rosberg pits. Adrian Sutil pits. On the following lap, Jenson Button pits. Sebastian Bourdais pits, and there's a small fire, and I don't know what's going on, but I think they sprayed the wrong fire extinguisher juice.
Really?
Yeah, because other teams, all of a sudden, at this stage, you'll see a fire in the Honda pits. Now, we're talking small
fires.
And
it looks like they're using CO2.
Yes, now they're using CO2, which vaporizes and puts out... But on Sebastian Bourdais, it looked like they took out the shaving cream can and sprayed him side of his helmet.
Yeah.
It's on the steering wheel. It's on the bodywork.
More of a foam-based extinguisher versus... Yeah, because in a period of, like, two laps, there are three fires in the pits. Nakajima on his way out of the pits is trailing flame.
Yeah, but they don't... He's already
mulling
him. They don't have a chance to spray him.
Right. Button takes a little bit of flame. And then Bourdais has a pretty good fire. On Button's car, it looks like they used a CO2 type extinguisher because it basically, you see the white jet and that's it. It looks like Sebastian Bourdais needs a bath or something because they're spraying him down with foam.
Yeah, and not only that, but it's like an old style of extinguisher. And I'm just going, come on. I know they're the B team, but give them some better fire extinguishers.
Exactly. Don't give them the stuff from the 70s, man.
Yeah, I would run over to Red Bull and grab some of their, you know, state-of-the-art ones. So that was really strange. Three fires in around lap 32, and a lot of people were saying it was a heat problem. We've got a lot of heat, and it's out of control.
Combination of the heat messing around with the fuel rigs and the tolerances within them, and then also the fact that the cars are so hot that any splash of fuel is going to ignite.
Lap 35, Nick Heidfeld, P11, and Robert Kubica is in P9. Out of the points right now, and Mario Tyson is looking for Fernando Alonso's phone number.
He's scratching his head going, what's going on with these guys?
Lap 37, Lewis Hamilton breaks into the 1-2-1 numbers, then Felipe Massa does the same thing. And it was funny because on lap 38, Lewis Hamilton then slows a half a second. I was really bewildered with that. And maybe he had a little bobble that didn't show up on camera. But certainly, a half a second is a half a second when you were both in the 121s. Bewildering at best. Then Felipe Massa is reaching the fastest lap. On lap 39, he does a 121.388. Which is close, but not a fast lap. But he's still banging them out.
Yep.
Very impressive pace from the Ferrari. And at this stage, Kaz, way in the back, I think in P14, is holding up a whole train of cars. And of course, while I'm thinking about Kaz, Lewis Hamilton has a little bit of an off.
And we're like, huh?
At first, I thought he just, you know, made a mistake, went wide, you know, lost a little bit of focus. But sure enough, puncture.
Yeah, interesting, because as soon as they go to the onboard chat, you can see
the left front,
there's something wrong with the tire. Apparently, he had a puncture. That's why he was off, because he couldn't make the car turn. And it's a killer, because it happens in, like, turn 3 or 4. So he's got to go all the way around, nursing this tire to make sure that he doesn't lose it completely. Does manage to get back to the pits, but... Oh, makes it for, you know, he ends up dropping down to like 11th.
P10.
10.
Because Nick Heidfeld pits at that moment, because he did come out in P11, but Nick Heidfeld pits at that moment, giving him P10, could have been much worse.
Could have been
much
worse.
To be honest with you, I think McLaren should have been much, very happy with this.
Oh, yeah. Well, the fact that he was able to get it back and get back out on track is going to turn around and pay dividends towards the end of the race.
Now, on the previous podcast, I predicted Lewis Hamilton would get a DNF. But since he didn't get a DNF and he just got a puncture, I get a half a point. Or a half a zero. You know, not a full zero.
Half a zero, so you get a C?
Something like that, exactly. So there you have it, Steve. Keep up the good work. Lap 44, Felipe Massa pits. And I think they brought him in a little bit early, because they knew what happened to Lewis.
Right, and they wanted to basically get him in and out and... basically trying to maintain that gap while Lewis was getting back up to speed on his fresh.
Not only that, but good strategy. What if the safety car gets deployed? You know, somebody has a kablamo and smacks it into the wall. That could be problematic. Bring him in now, fill him up, and he's good to go.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get burned by this. You know, look what happened in Germany.
7.5 second stop, but he started with the hard tires, went with the hard tires in the first pit stop. Second pit stop has to go with the softs.
Yeah, well, Lewis is out on softs too, so...
Well, they all have to.
Yep.
So, and he comes out in P2, which was fairly impressive. Lap 46, Adrian Sutil, Sebastian Bourdais pit. The following lap, Timo Glock pits. Great stop, 6.6 seconds. He goes with the soft tires, Mark Webber pits. And then on 48, Heikki Kovalainen pits from the lead. And it's a 6.8 second stop, comes out behind Kimi Raikkonen in P4.
Phenomenal. Raikkonen still has yet to stop, so...
do a second stop, exactly.
So it's a good thing for Heikki.
And Sebastian Bourdais, for some reason, he pits again, and they spray him again.
Yeah. That, almost like the guy expected the fire,
and it didn't happen. Birthday, maybe.
Maybe.
You know, yippee! I have no clue, but this car is covered with foam. It stinks.
Maybe there's a big bubble club or something in Budapest, and the extinguisher guy was having flashbacks to last night's party.
I don't know, but it was bizarre, and Bourdais, even though he's struggling, hangs in there. And, of course, luckily for those, you know, tear-away visors.
Yeah.
Lap 50, Kimi Raikkonen has a bit of an off, but saves it when he was trying to get by Fernando. And I thought... Dude, that was impressive.
That was impressive. His back end almost goes completely, but he manages to get it back under control and get it back on the track. That was professional driving right there. That was just some sweet
and
control.
Some professional pit stop work comes up later, because even though Kimi Raikkonen is behind Fernando, Ferrari said, we have got to get this guy ahead of Fernando. So, once again, they both pit at the same time, but this time, Kimi Raikkonen is able to leapfrog Fernando Alonso. And I believe, actually, that Fernando Alonso pitted on the lap 50 with 7.3 seconds. Goes with the softs. No choice. Robert Kubica pits from P8. On lap 51, Kimi Raikkonen pits and is able to come out ahead of Fernando, who's now on lap 51.
Yep, exactly. They're basically one lap apart, and it was enough that they were able to shave that just that tiny bit of time off of there to get... Kimi back out in front of Fernando, which is going to pay some dividends.
Yeah, and Kimi, in a few laps, starts banging out some really good laps.
You're like going, where was this pace the whole rest of the race?
Exactly. Nico Rosberg passes Kaz Nakajima and Giancarlo Fisichella. A little oomph and a little magic there.
It's a little double.
Jenson Button pits on lap 52. Giancarlo Fisichella said, no, you're not the passami. And he
The reason that Nico got past, manages to get past Fisichella and Nakajima is because Fisichella manages to kind of knock Nakajima off the line slowing them both down.
And Nico took advantage of that, but I was impressed with Fisichella's pace to be able to catch Nico and get by him once again. The Toyota, not...
Well, for some reason, the Williams is just not... The pace is just not there, and I don't know what it is. It just seems odd because they were... Again, it's like they've been the last couple of seasons. They're really strong through about the first third to a half of the season, and then just boom. Like they fall off a cliff or something.
Yeah, let's hope that they're focusing on the 2009 car because I think this one is a write-off.
Well, not only that, but considering all the changes that we have to have for next season, it would make sense for them to jump ship and start working on that car. Nico is starting to get... You can tell by some of the comments in the papers that Nico's starting to get frustrated with the pace of the car and the fact that they don't stay competitive.
I agree. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. I mean,
He could be a world champion in the right package.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, what happened to Jenson Button?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody said that about him a few years ago, and I don't think it's ever going to happen
now. Well, I think he's had one win, and it was here in Hungary 2 years ago.
Lap 54, Nelson Piquet pits from P4 and comes out in front of Jarno Trulli. And I thought Trulli had this, because Nelson Piquet is coming out, he's fueled, and I thought Jarno Trulli would be able to go on the outside.
Yeah, he was coming in. It looked like, typically when you see the two cars even at the pit exit, the guy who's on track is gone.
And I'm impressed.
And Nelson does a really good job of getting position on Trulli and just basically shutting the door on him and keeping him back.
It's official, Stephen. The bravo, bravo, bravo Nelsino Fantastico is back in town. So I was very happy with that. Nelsino, I don't know what happened.
I think confidence.
Confidence helps.
I think basically he may downplay the fact that he made the podium in Germany, but I think that race really boosted his confidence that he can race with some of these guys and not be overwhelmed.
Absolutely. Lap 55, Timo Glock is holding on to P3 and also fantasizing about his podium, the bubbles, you know, the spraying, the girls. Keep up the good work, Timo. Giancarlo Fisichella pits on lap 56, and he was in P15, so nothing big, but he's doing a pretty good job for Force India. Now, lap 57 comes around, and I'm thinking, does Lewis Hamilton have enough fuel to finish this race? Because I could, you know, he came in because of the puncture, they fueled him, but I couldn't remember.
If they'd thrown up the numbers as whether or not he was going to have enough gas.
Yeah, so I was going, man, if he has the pit again, he'll be out of the numbers, out of the points.
And that would be a major strategic goof by McLaren. You know, if he had to come in, they gas him up, put him on the softs, and let him go and hope that he can, you know, the softs won't hold him back enough to make a difference.
Exactly, and BMW was hoping he had to stop again because those people, if McLaren does well in this race, even with the puncture, they're going to be in third place in the Constructors' Championship instead of second place.
Exactly.
And that means they're dropping, they're not performing well, and Mario Tyson is going to have a fit when he gets back to Munich. So there you have it. Kimi now is on a flyer trying to catch Timo Glock. And this starts on lap 58, and then on lap 59, Kimi Raikkonen, fast lap of the race, 121.267. Nico Rosberg pits. And back in P11, David Coulthard and Nick Heidfeld are duking it out. And
For 11.
Yeah, it's brutal. I feel sorry for Nick Heidfeld. I don't care where you qualified. It just doesn't look good on camera.
No.
BMW was doing so well, they were supposed to be part of the big three.
Yep, and basically you would expect, at least at the beginning of the season, you would expect the BMW to just walk away from an STR or from an RBR, from the Red Bull car, and he's having a hard time keeping Coulthard back.
Lap 61, fast lap again by Kimi Raikkonen with a 121.195. And as soon as that clicked off, Adrian Sutil, we see a big puff of carbon from his car. Apparently, he had some kind of I thought a rotor exploded.
Yeah, it looked to me like he'd lost something in the brakes. But actually, it looks like it may turned out have been maybe he lost a duct, or maybe he actually blew out a tire. He manages to get back around. They change the tire. They look at the
12-second stop. They look at him, and they let him go.
Yeah.
And I was blown away. I was going, wow. Because that, when you see that much carbon come out of that one corner of the car.
Exactly. You just see that big puff of dust.
I mean, it's either a brake pad that's exploding, a rotor. And when a rotor explodes, usually you lose control of the car. Yeah. So, not sure what happened to Adrian, but they stick him back out in the race. Kept the good work.
And Mike Gascoigne's there taking a look. All the parts are still there.
Yep. Went check. Go.
Get back on track.
Lap 64, Kimi is 1.5 seconds behind Timo Glock and catching. Jarno Trulli, at this time, sets the fastest Sector 3 time. Very impressive. The Toyotas of Glock and Trulli are doing an outstanding job, great pace, and I think Toyota should be happy with this kind of progress.
Yeah, they've been solid, and they've been consistently kind of moving up in the grid every week for the last couple of weeks.
Budget in the world, we expect them to move up in the up on the grid. I think about 4 years ago.
Maybe they got that extra horsepower that they took away from their cars in the Nationwide Series and put them in these.
Nationwide Series, Stephen? Yeah. Is that some foreign language? That's the roundy round.
Yeah, those are the guys that raced in Montreal this weekend.
Yeah. Oh boy, good for them. They were at Circuit Villeneuve?
Yes, they were.
Oh, my God.
I was surprised because I didn't think those guys ever went on a road course.
Huh. That's fascinating, Steve. Keep up the good work. Lap 65, Adrian Sutil pits again, and he is out of the race. There was more damage to that brake system than met the eye.
Than was apparently obvious because he basically went out for one lap and he was back in and he was done.
Lap 66, Kimi is pushing hard, and to be honest with you, this is an extremely hard track to get by anybody. But Kimi could push him, and put the pressure on Timo, because Timo, a younger driver, could make the fatal mistake, crash, and then Kimi Raikkonen.
Or just make that bobble that gives Kimi the opening to get past him. That's all Kimi really needs is to stay close enough that if Timo makes that little mistake, Kimi's there to take advantage of
exactly. it. Exactly. Kimi's got to get these points. He's got to stay at least within distance of Lewis Hamilton, who's leading the championship.
And Felipe, right now. Because Felipe looks like he's going to have a big payday. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's run away with this race. He's passed Lewis Hamilton. He's showed his TFs. Massa is doing an outstanding job. And the Ferrari as a package is working well this weekend.
Oh, especially for Felipe.
And lap 67, it's all over. My taped version of David Hobbs going, Kablamo, Kablamo, Kablamo.
Felipe Massa coming down pit straight. Big puff of smoke. Rolls through stop right near the end of the pit. His day is over.
And the thing is just crapping oil. Big puff of oil.
That was a true Kablamo.
Yeah, and we don't get to see Kablamos as much as we used to.
Rarely anymore.
And to see it from a Ferrari is rare in itself. But
typically happens once a car, once a season.
Yeah, exactly.
Felipe's used his up today.
But you know what? I think Felipe had a great race, and I don't care what anybody says on this particular weekend, Felipe Massa did outstanding.
Yeah, he outraced everybody else in the field. You know, great weekend for the Massanets, but just 3 laps to go and to lose it, that's just got to hurt.
Damon Hill, 97 in the Arrows. It happens.
Yeah, Felipe should be lucky that it wasn't the last lap like it was for Damon Hill.
Well, there you go. What was a story a couple of seconds ago with Massa, we have a new story on the horizon. Heikki Kovalainen is now leading the race. We only have a few laps to go, and he's going, I'm in the money, I'm in the money.
I got a new contract, and I'm going to get my first win.
Exactly. See what happens? Sign a new contract. All of a sudden, you know, you keep good pace. He drove a good race.
Did.
And unfortunately got passed by Felipe Massa, but so did Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly. You know, no face lost there. He manages to bring it home, and Heikki Kovalainen will be the winner.
And real quickly, I want to say that as soon as the Kablamo happened, you could see Kimi Raikkonen
back off,
lift off, because they told him, Kimi, we may have a problem.
Houston?
Yeah, so, it was a very hot race, and Massa was pushing that car tremendously.
Yeah, you know, basically just to stay ahead of Lewis in the early stages. Had to, and he was actually starting to back off before this happened. He his pace per lap had come back down into the 122s and 123s for five, six laps before it finally let go on him. So I think they had an idea that something was starting to go wrong.
Telemetry starts telling you, you know,
we're losing some oil pressure here. You know, something's wrong with compression. Please hold up.
So there you have it. Great job by Heikki Kovalainen to stick it out, finish the race, and wins the race because of Felipe Massa's bad luck. Keep up the good work, Heikki. His first Grand Prix win and the 100th Grand Prix win in Formula One for a different driver.
For the 100th driver. Grand Prix drive winner.
Correct. Gets confusing, but those are statistics.
And he's also the fourth Finn to ever win a Grand Prix.
Well, there you have it.
So, works well for him. He finishes ahead of the real big surprise for the weekend, Timo Glock.
Another story. Timo Glock and Toyota doing a great job. Of course, it's on the heels of a Kablamo, but still.
Even if Massa finishes.
He's in P3.
He's on the podium, which is, for Toyota, that's a big step. They, over the last couple of years, have typically got one or two a season, usually because of somebody's falling out. But a great race for Timo, considering the shunt that he had in Germany. Comes back and just races his little butt off all weekend and finishes second. Kimi, as Kimi often does, doesn't qualify necessarily well, but runs a steady race. Keeps himself going, keeps himself in it, gets past people when he can, and he gets himself a podium. Helps himself out a bunch because of the guys running for the Drivers' Championship. He's the guy that really scores some points.
Yeah, he's only 5 points behind Lewis Hamilton, who keeps his lead with 62 points, Kimi with 57 points. So this is not over.
No, and Felipe takes the hit because he was it's a 10-point, it's a 20-point swing really for him to go.
But still in third place.
But still finishing, still in third place. Fernando Alonso with a good weekend, finishing fourth, followed by Lewis Hamilton, who did a fantastic job after losing that tire and basically dropping, 11 positions on the track, 10 points on the track, gains five of those back to finish fifth. Another good weekend for Nelson Piquet. He'll finish sixth, followed by Jarno Trulli. Robert Kubica squeezing out a point for BMW. Mark Webber finishes ninth. Nick Heidfeld in 10th. David Coulthard in 11th. Jenson Button in 12th. Nakajima in 13th. Roxburgh 14th. Fisichella 15th. Rubinho, the last of the cars on track, in 16th. Massa classifies in 17th, as does Sebastian Bourdais in 18th. Sutil and Vettel are retired.
Outstanding. Wonderful race. I enjoyed it immensely. Real quickly, the usual link that was given out to a lot of people did not work this weekend.
Yeah, I was looking at those this weekend. I had someone send me an email. I gave them the links, and I was a little disappointed when I went to them this morning and got nothing.
So, but luckily, this is what you guys need to do. Stick with the forum because Koala posted a link and that one worked. But it's, you know,
it's gonna move around because yeah, they've got to kind of stay one step ahead of ITV or yeah, whoever's.
But just it was still the ITV feed was excellent. So my apologies to everybody that I had posted and given to people. Did not work this weekend for me either. And Bernie is always catching up. You know, he's got a full flog of staff working on this stuff always.
Yeah, definitely. We know all about his
so
staff.
I always suggest everybody keep the forum up running on your computer and check it every once in a while, because if a link isn't working, there's somebody out
somebody's
there
gonna find
post
the other
a new
one.
Link that worked, and that's what happened for me, even though luckily here in the United States we are back on speed having it live. But I still like to watch a little bit of the ITV coverage because they have a different perspective.
Right.
It's more.
And they probably stagger in the commercial breaks too.
Exactly.
So that you can keep watching while one's in commercial break and the other one isn't.
So hang in there, everybody. That link may work next week. We're going on vacation for 3 weeks, but
In 3 weeks, that one might work for
hopefully.
Valencia.
Hopefully. But great race. I really enjoyed it. Of course, now is the 3-week vacation. for the F1 teams and the F1 weekly crew. We all take our families to Barbados for a couple of weeks, you know, and we just use, it's the usual F1weekly.com company picnic.
My tickets got lost in the mail again, didn't they?
Don't worry, Stephen, we'll take care of it. But, yep, F1 Weekly in Barbados. Don't forget to prepare for the one-legged race, Stephen. You did terrible last year.
In 3 weeks, we're in at a brand new track. Valencia. But nobody's going to be able to test on. Should be very interesting to see how that shakes out. A road course, street course. Be interesting to see how that shakes out with everybody, you know, first time on in Valencia.
Well, we know Lewis Hamilton seems to learn them real quickly. Not sure if this track is on the PS3, but I don't believe it is.
Probably not, considering no one's ever raced it before.
So there you have it. There's no cheating on this one. And that's going to be it's a beautiful location. Absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Everyone, thanks for listening and good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.